Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi. Covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad, along with Robbie Falk from 24/7 Sports, give you an inside look at the Bulldogs on the field, the court, and the diamond. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is you get podcasts from. Appreciate all of our great listeners out there, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to Strange Brew Coffeehouse. And when you're in Starkville next week, man, 11 a.m. kickoff, you need that extra boost to get through the morning. You need to stop by Strange Brew on your way to the stadium. And then on the way out, well, you got plenty of time for a Victory Sunday. Even on a Saturday, you got time for Victory Sunday. So head over to Strange Brew Coffeehouse or Churn and Spoon Ice Cream next time you're in Starkville and get your day started the right way. College Corner, 11 a.m. kickoff. Guys, you don't have time to stand in line here in Starkville. Make sure you've done your shopping before you get out of town. You can do it with two locations to serve you in the Jackson area. They're in Ridgeland by Fleet Feet. They're in Flowa by the Half Shell. Or you can always shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Whatever you need for the game, for your car, for your tailgate, or for your house, anything maroon and white, they've got it. College Corner. Humble Taco is ready to see you back in Starkville and enjoying yourself at Starkville's newest and best Mexican restaurant. Mexican fare with Mississippi roots, a unique menu you're not going to find anywhere else. Make sure the next time you are here in town, you have made Humble Taco one of your stops. They can't wait to see you. Get you a seat on the patio, grab a margarita, grab some chips and queso, and eat some delicious food that you can't find anywhere else. It's only at Humble Taco. Robbie Falk, we're going to talk a little numbers. We're going inside the numbers. Deep dive time. You ready?
I don't like numbers.
That is actually not true.
I don't like math.
Yeah.
But I do like numbers. I like statistics.
Do you have a favorite number?
17.
I see what you did. I see what you did. Mine is 70. But, you know.
Why?
That was my jersey number back in the day.
Okay.
So plus
69
one
would be my second.
Ah, oh, yes.
Shout out to Dollar Bill.
It's nice. It's nice. We talked about this earlier this week, and a lot of you guys had some free time, I guess. So you sent in. I got a bunch of texts and messages like, here's the numbers. We did the research for you. So thanks. But we want to talk about the year one to year two jumps for Mike Leach, specifically at Washington State and at Texas Tech. And are they noticeable? Is there a point in the season even where things started getting a lot smoother in year two? You know, how does that pan out? So let's do that right now.
Do you have a spreadsheet?
No, I don't. I'm just going to sort of wing it here.
Okay.
I feel pretty confident in my ability, though. So year one at Texas Tech, 2000. 25 points per game, which is a little ahead of what they did last year, of course. Last year sort of skews things for Mississippi State because you played only 10 games and they were all SEC games. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously this year, Mike Leach played 13 games, and without looking at the schedule, I haven't seen it just yet. I'm going to assume there's at least three and probably four non-conference games. And then there's obviously a bowl game as well. So that sort of skews things.
2000, that was 11 game schedules?
Well, they were 7-6 that year.
Okay.
So, yeah, now State played. Yeah, State was 8-4 that year, or 7-. That's a good point.
2000.
So let me look at their schedule here because
at a certain point they switched from 11 games to the regular season.
That was
12.
In 2002. Because now that I think about it, State was 7-4 and then won the eighth game in the bowl game. So why is there an extra game here for Texas Tech?
Yeah, you have to look at their schedule.
I am looking at it right now, and they played. 13 games? I was looking to see, you know, they have that rule about Hawaii. If you play Hawaii, you can play an extra game. Mm-hmm. But they didn't play Hawaii, so I don't know what the deal is with that. They didn't win their side of the Big 12, so I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But we'll press on regardless. So 25 points per game that season for Texas Tech. Cliff Kingsbury is the quarterback. 62% completion rate, 3,400 passing yards, 21 touchdowns to 17 picks. So it looks like from a numbers perspective, they were doing enough to be better, but 17 picks sort of ruins that. Here's a number that makes that you're gonna, when I say it, something's gonna click with you. Yards per attempt was 5.8 yards per attempt. So
yeah, that looks
sort of
like,
where we are.
Yeah.
with Mississippi State at this point. Kingsbury was 362 of 585 for 3,418 yards. So yeah, 585 attempts, only 3,400 yards. So let's leap ahead to year two. Year two, it's still Cliff Kingsbury. And it's still about the same. Now, the points per game goes up big time to 33.5 points per game. And Kingsbury does a good job of cutting down his interceptions. He's 25 to 9. So he cut 8 interceptions. I mean, that's a big deal. Completion percentage goes up to 69%.
Nice.
3,502 yards. But again, only 6.6 yards per attempt. This was a good running team, by the way, for Mike Leach. Ricky Williams, the other Ricky Williams, rushed for 726 yards this year and 14 touchdowns. So they could run the football. They averaged 82 yards per game on the ground. So not a huge jump year one to year two at Texas Tech in terms of the passing efficiency, I would say. A big jump in terms of points per game.
Production.
The record didn't change much either. They were 7-5 that year. Let's look at year three just to see if that's where we're going to start seeing something different. So now they are up to 38 points per game, which was sixth nationally.
Mm-hmm.
They gave up 31 a game, 89th nationally. Got to figure Mississippi State, if you're averaging 38 a game, you're probably winning 10.
Yeah.
This team won 9.
Yeah, that's the trend where you started saying if Mike Leach could just have an average defense.
Yeah.
And his offense was having that kind of production, then you'll be really kicking at that point.
Here's another thing that should give Mississippi State fans something to think about. Cliff Kingsbury is still the starter. So this is his third year as the starter in the Mike Leach system. Will Rogers is a guy who, in 2022, should be in his third, or I guess in 2022, should be in his third year as the starter in the Mike Leach system. Now Kingsbury jumps up to 5,017 yards passing. And throws 45 touchdowns to 13 picks. Yards per attempt is now up to he's added almost a yard and a half at this point, which you think, okay, that's not that big a deal. It is when you throw the ball 712 times, which is what they did. They throw the ball 712 times. He completes 67.3% of his passes. So that's an extra 1,000 yards of offense right there. So you know you're thinking 5.8 to 7. It's not that big a jump. Yeah, it is.
That's a really big
jump. That's a really big jump when you're going to throw the ball that many times. This team was also a good running team, by the way. They averaged almost 100 yards. They're at 99.4. Torian Henderson was their leading rusher, 793 yards. If State could, I don't think that number is possible at Mississippi State in the SEC. I don't think 5,017 yards, which, by the way, also this has happened in 14 games. Why did they play 14 games? I got to know the answer.
I don't know what's happening with the schedule.
Did they play in the Big 12 championship game?
In 03?
Doesn't appear to be.
I mean, and I went and looked at Mississippi.
This is 02.
I went and looked at Mississippi State's schedule in 2000. They played 12 games. The bowl game.
Yeah, with the bowl game.
So
02 and 03 were years they played 12. That went back down to 11.
Did the Big 12 play an extra conference game?
Well, I mean,
I don't know why you would. I don't know why they would have 12 games and Mississippi State would have 11.
They played 5 non-conference games and 8 conference games.
Yeah, I don't remember that. I don't remember that being a thing, but apparently it was. Apparently yeah. They played one extra game.
They played Ohio State, Texas Tech. I'm sorry, SMU, Ole Miss. North Carolina State, and New Mexico.
Well, I remember that Ole Miss game.
Yeah, 42-28.
It's like 600 yards passing or something.
Let's see if I can get an actual look at it here.
Was that Kingsbury in that ball game?
You're right.
Versus Eli?
It was Kingsbury, but that was not a big passing day for them. Only 270 yards. Eli had 374. You might be thinking about the next year.
Was it the next year that they had?
I'll look at that in just a second here.
I remember that game vividly because I remember coming to church the next day and talking about that.
It really does appear that the big jump is year two to year three.
Yeah, and that's what I've always considered, you know, the year that things are going to jump, possibly for Mississippi State.
You remembered more or less correctly. B.J. Simons is the quarterback.
B.J. Simons.
44 of 64 for 661 yards and 6 touchdowns.
Yeah, and that was 03, right?
Yeah. I mean,
that was Simons versus Eli. And
Eli
was,
goes 29 of 49 for 409, 3 touchdowns, 2 picks, and loses.
Yeah. That was a really good Ole Miss team. That's the year they claimed SEC West.
Exactly. That team is so weird. They lost 3 games, right? They lost to the number 1 team in the nation, LSU. Then they also lost to Texas Tech and Memphis.
Yeah.
That Memphis team lost to Mississippi State. They went 2-10.
Well,
really weird.
The team that had Chad Kelly a few years ago lost to Memphis.
Lost to Memphis, yes.
And that was a really good
Memphis
team.
has had Ole Miss's number. The way Louisiana Tech has had States. Even when they don't beat them, they play them close sometimes.
Yeah.
But
that year 2 to 3 is really when you start to see the jump.
Especially, like I said, with Rodgers going to probably be the starting quarterback this whole time.
Well, you think about next year. You got,
that's what I'm saying, 2022.
Everybody coming back on offense.
Yeah, you should.
Except for your offensive lineman, you're not going to have Charles Cross or Scott Lashley. You're
right.
Bookend tackles. You've got
to replace your tackles. But
you're going to have, I think they're going to have their entire receiving core back.
Yeah.
Teddy Knox is going to be a year older.
Antonio Harmon will be in there finally.
So you start thinking about it. Well, that's year three in this system. Will Rogers is going to be basically a junior.
Mm-hmm.
Jaden Wiley is going to be, and Jaquavius Marks, Dylan Johnson.
Yeah.
So this is still the first, you know, full season where they've had a spring and a summer and all that stuff. So they're still kind of getting comfortable in it. Next year, you should see this thing. If it's going to work at Mississippi State, it should start working really well next year.
And I'll tell you what, when you look at the schedule in year two, because what I wanted to see is there a place where it jumped. They scored 42 points in each of their first two games. Now, they played a Mountain West team, New Mexico, and a Sun Belt team, North Texas. State's playing a really bad defensive team this week. It's a good team, but they're bad defensively.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's a good litmus test.
Yeah.
Can they put 40 on the board?
Because, I mean, La Tech had the linebacking core for La Tech was really good.
Yeah.
Veteran group.
Yeah.
I don't think their defense was just awful.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's what the offense is supposed to do. Go out there and put up 370 yards passing and mm-hmm. be able to score like they did in the fourth quarter. And I think that the offense, if it's consistent, is reminiscent to what you saw in that fourth quarter, in the first quarter of La Tech. But it's just all about consistency. And that includes, you can't come out there and have 3 and outs every, you know, 2 or
right.
3 possessions
right.
in a quarter.
Right.
And that's been a problem, is the 3 and outs have been, you know, a pretty high percentage
yeah.
for Will Rogers and company. They got to be able to, at the very least, move the chains, get the ball moving down the field, and maybe kick a field goal or something. And I think that's what you saw with those offenses at Texas Tech when it got to deep into year 2 and into year 3. You started to see more, you started talking about the, you know, average yards per pass and
yeah.
the yards per play and all that. That started to creep up a little bit further. You're not having, you know, those short intermediate passes. You're able to get the ball down the field and complete some big gainers.
One other thing. Remember I said, I think I said on Monday show or Sunday show, whatever you want to call it, that might have been the first time he ever won with defense. I was wrong.
Yeah, he had a good defense in 2006.
Well, in this season here, November 3rd, 2001, Texas Tech beats Texas A&M 12-0.
There you go.
I wonder if that was that all field goals. Let me see.
The year they beat Texas, didn't they have a decent defense? With Crabtree in them, or maybe not.
Let me have a look here.
I'm trying to remember that one of those teams, the defense was actually pretty solid.
I mean, they went 11-2. My guess is they weren't terrible defensively that season.
He had a solid defense 1 year. I know. I just can't remember what season that was.
I mean, he gave up 382 yards per game that year. So I mean, not spectacular. But when you average 44 points per game,
that offense was so good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just they
Graham
were able
Harrell,
to overcome.
Graham Harrell completing 71% of his passes, and again,
that's probably his best offense, don't you think?
Yeah. And now we've gone
either that one or Gardner Minshew.
This is year 8, right?
Yeah.
We've gone from 5.8 yards per attempt to 8.2 yards per attempt.
Mm-hmm.
So we're basically two more yards per attempt. And when you're talking about 600 to 700 plays, we're talking about 1,200 to 1,400 yards.
That's a lot of yards.
And that's how you have to break this down. You got to look, from talking about math, you got to look at how many times they're throwing it. So, all right, let's move over to Washington State now with Mike Leach. Obviously, year one, and again, you know, the situation at Washington State when he arrived, not good.
Mm-mm.
They had won, I believe the number is 9 games in the previous 4 years total.
Yeah, they were not a good program. They were good several years prior to that,
but
they had fallen on very hard times, and they were kind of like, we're desperate, so we're going to go get the guy.
Yeah.
He had a bad rap because
you'd had the Craig James thing, which ends up all being crap.
Yes.
But, you know, year one at Washington State is very similar to year one at Mississippi State. 20.4 yards per game. In 12 games, they sort of split quarterbacks. And they threw for just over 3,900 yards. Now, if you're thinking, okay, that's a lot more than Mississippi State, again, take the non-conference games into account that State didn't have last year. And B, I think Costello and Rogers combined for just shy of 3,100 yards, or maybe just over it last year. With two more games, even against anybody, they would have been about 3,600 yards.
Yeah.
So maybe even more. So pretty close. That team went 3-9. They weren't any good defensively either. They gave up 34 points per game. Jumping ahead, now he takes a big jump in year two here. But, just to set the tone, they take a step back the next year. Now, the reason they took a step back in 2014 and they went 3-9, they were absolutely god-awful defensively.
Mm-hmm.
117th out of 128. Offensively, they were good enough to be much better. But let's just look at 2013. They were averaging 20 points per game in year one. They're up to 31 points per game in year two. Again, they go 6-7. They gave up 32.5 a game. If you put that offense right there with the defense Mississippi State has this year, you're going to win a lot of games.
Nine wins, probably.
Yeah. Connor Holiday is your main guy here. Now let's look. I didn't look at yards per attempt. So last year, the year before that, they were. No, is that right? Hold on. No, I'm one ahead of myself. I'm sorry. 6.3. They average about 6.4 yards per attempt in year one. In year two, so about the same.
What was Mississippi State averaging last year in yards per attempt?
Well, I didn't have that ready. Hold on.
Well, I thought you had it memorized.
I don't.
I'm gonna say probably in this, you know, six to 6.2.
Yeah, Rogers was 5.7, KJ was 6.1, so 5.8, 5.9.
Yeah,
all right.
That's basically what Kingsbury was averaging at the start of the Texas.
So year two in Washington State, Connor Holiday is the quarterback, 4,597 yards passing.
Sheesh.
On 714 attempts. Talking about they did not run the ball.
No.
53 yards per game. 34 touchdowns, 22 picks. Now that's the problem.
That's just throwing. You're just dropping back and throwing it.
So what I'm seeing from this is Leach had that team poised to win 8, maybe 9, but defensively they were so bad and they threw too many interceptions. If that's 34 to 13 on the interceptions, I mean, I've probably got at least one more win, right?
The Washington State tenure is what, you know, I think you need to look at closely. Because I think Texas Tech, at times, he was more of a spread type in pretty good shape anyway when he got there.
He didn't look at the numbers, but
he was running the ball more at Texas Tech, I think, probably, than he was at Washington State.
His best rushing year is at Washington State.
Really?
Yeah. He had two guys with over 700 yards.
I look at Washington State and I say, if Mississippi State can have that offense and have a decent defense.
Have Mississippi State's defense.
Because it just seems like the offense was always good there. And I think a lot of that has to do with the defenses that they played.
Yeah.
The Pac-12 doesn't have a ton of great defenses.
Yeah.
But there were some good ones out there. You know, Stanford plays solid defense. Oregon every now and then has a good defense. Washington.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you can have that kind of offense, and you don't even have to do what Zach Arnett's doing right now. If you could just be an average defense And with those offenses, you can have a lot of success here. And you're going to recruit way more talented players than you were at Washington State. I think he was averaging in the 50s at Washington State as far as recruiting is concerned.
Yeah.
That's another thing, you know, and you don't really see this until you go and dig in the numbers. Everybody looks at those recruiting classes that he has and just assumes that's where he recruits. He recruits about the average of what the school he's is.
At. Yeah.
When if you go look at Texas Tech, what they've done before Mike Leach, after Mike
about
Leach,
the same.
About the same. Go look at Washington State.
Same.
He actually recruited a little better
yeah.
than what Washington State was recruiting. Same. So at Mississippi State, if you're recruiting anywhere from
25 to 35,
yeah. and you're getting that kind of production from your offense,
yeah.
you're recruiting defensive players that are going to the NFL regularly, mm-hmm. you're going to be in good shape.
Year three at Washington State, again, defensively, they're just so poor. They're 117 out of 128, 39 points per game. Offensively, as a team, they had two quarterbacks that year. Luke Falk got some snaps. I don't know if there was an injury or what. They combined for 5,700 yards passing.
Yeah.
They combined for 45 touchdowns to 18 picks. So offensively, this team was fine. They just
with
couldn't stop anybody. Yeah, they couldn't stop anybody. Year five, or year four, I guess this is, Luke Falk takes over, and this was a 9-win team for them.
Yeah.
Defensively, this is sort of like they had the Ole Miss thing going. They still weren't good defensively, but they improved from 117 to 74. That was enough to win six more games.
That's a big jump, and that's the thing. I mean, that's been the key with him.
Their points per game were no different. They averaged 31 the year before that, but they changed from 39 points per game to 28 points per game.
Mm-hmm.
Luke Falk that year, 447 of 644, 69.4%, 4,561 yards, 38 touchdowns, 8 picks.
38-8 is a good
number.
That's
a great number. So, and we talked a little bit about the Crabtree year. Let's look at the best year for him, and that's the Minshew year.
That's going to be the Minshew year in 17?
18. So Minshew arrives, and sort of similar numbers to what I just said. 468 of 662, 71% completion, 4779 yards, 38-9 touchdown to interception. I mean,
you throw it that many times and you've only thrown 39 picks, pretty good.
You're only throwing, I mean, you're talking about a pick every 70 attempts.
Will Rogers' numbers as a starter are good.
Yeah.
He's thrown, I think, 3 interceptions as a starter. Is that correct?
That might be correct. I mean, he had a couple against Kentucky, right?
Yeah.
Or at least one. He had one against
Alabama.
Didn't start that game. So maybe 5. I don't know. So what I'm getting from this is this. Incremental improvement in year 2, exponential improvement in year 3.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he's not going to change, it's unlikely that he's going to have to change quarterbacks in year 3. That's going to be Will Rogers after a full season as a starter. Leads me to believe that they will be much better offensively next year. But this year they're going to be good enough offensively with the defense they have to be in a bowl game and probably win 7. And if things go their way, 8.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
can't ask for much more, I think, in year 2.
No, I mean, most people's thoughts on this team was 6-7 wins.
Right.
If they get that, then you should be thrilled with the direction that this is headed, because I feel like next year's team has a chance to be really good. You're returning basically your entire offense you got to figure out left tackle and right tackle. That's a big,
which are big things to figure out.
It's big to figure out, but from a skill position standpoint and a quarterback standpoint, and there's still people that are skeptical of Will Rogers, and mm-hmm. for good reason.
Mm-hmm.
But you got a guy that's a system quarterback in this offense that is going to be in his third year. He's, you know, pretty safe for the most part. He's not going out there and just, you know, playing reckless. You got to feel good about yourself moving into year 3. But you just need to see continued improvement from this team, which I think you're already seeing. 35-24 in the first 2 ball games is better than some of the games that we saw last year. So I think you are seeing this team start to make those incremental improvements, like you said, but you really need to see that jump. I think you need to start seeing even more and more improvement as this season goes, and then you need to see that jump into year 3.
I wonder if it would be worth talking to a Texas Tech beat reporter from that time to see how did the Texas Tech fan base embrace Cliff Kingsbury? Were they of the same opinion that Mississippi State fans are of Will Rogers? Like, he can't ever get it done. He's not good enough.
I think the greatest example of that is looking at Leach's quarterbacks and seeing their NFL track record. Because for most of them, it's not there.
Right.
That those guys are the guys that he has in his system aren't always, you know, the most talented players on the planet. They're not they're not all going to come up there and throw the ball 60 yards. He gets guys that can run this system effectively and guys that you can win ball games with, mm-hmm. regardless of how far they can throw the football, what their NFL talent is, whatever. I do think that you're going to see him start to get more talented quarterbacks in this system than what he got at Texas Tech and at Washington State. Just my opinion. I think he's going to be able to pull some greater talent from Texas, Georgia, Alabama, Florida, I don't know. He's got a greater base now to pull from, and being in the SEC is going to do wonders for him. I think if he gets a Matt Corral, or you know a guy like that that's a gunslinger to get in this offense,
is that guy Sawyer Robertson?
I think
too early to tell.
I think, but I mean, he hasn't really made waves so far. Will Rogers was making more waves as a true freshman last year in fall camp than Sawyer Robertson, which kind of worries me a little bit. But I think the talent is there. You just got to get it to click for him.
I found a guy here who's covered Texas Tech football since 86.
He would know.
He would know. We might have to reach out to Don Williams here and see what he's got to say. I wonder if John knows him, if the Sock knows him.
Oh, I'm sure he does. All right.
We might make that happen next week.
Talk to the Sock.
Yeah, we'll make that happen. That feels like an interesting perspective. Maybe I can do the same for Washington State. I don't know if they've got a veteran guy like that.
Yeah, I don't know any Washington State beat writers.
I don't know any Texas Tech one either, but we'll find out. All right, let's interesting look at those numbers, though. So, wouldn't it, this year, wait and see. Next year, I think next year it is fair to say to expect a big jump. And if you don't get it, that's a problem.
Your expectations should be much higher. I think everybody was tempered with their expectations.
Yeah. Next year, I should be able to say 4,000 yards passing.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't looked at the schedule next year, but...
I know who their East opponent is. That's not Kentucky.
Who?
Georgia.
Is it?
It's here. Well. Georgia here. And then what, you're at Arizona?
They're not is that good. Next year?
Yeah. You're at Arizona. I think you have Southern... you have an FCS team, and I forget the other FBS home game. But, yeah. I mean, you'll be at Alabama, at LSU, at Ole Miss, at Kentucky, and you'll have Auburn, Arkansas, Texas A&M, and Georgia at home.
Yeah.
So there you go. We'll see. All right, let's move on into the second part of the show here. It's brought to you by our good friends over at Welcome Home Beef. Don't forget, Welcome Home Beef, unfortunately, right now, not going to be available in Starkville once Val's goes out of business, but doesn't mean that you can't shop around. If you're in the Starkville area, it's a quick trip down to Louisville to grab some Welcome Home Beef. Or, you know, if you're around the state in Collinsville and Corinth and Byhalia and Pontotoc, all sorts of places you can find Welcome Home Beef. If your local grocery store doesn't carry them, time to find out why. Call your local grocer and call Welcome Home Beef to find out if you can get their products on your shelves. That number is 662-268-8148. Welcome Home Beef.
It just tastes good.
Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District will be hopping in two weekends when Mississippi State and LSU are taking on each other over at Davis-Wade Stadium. But anytime you're in Starkville, Two Brothers should be on your to-do list. The best restaurant, in my opinion, not only in Starkville, but in the SEC. One of my favorite places to go. I'll never turn down a trip to Two Brothers. Smoked Southern Soul Food in the heart of the Cotton District. That's Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Advantage Business Systems has a two-way plan to take care of you, just like Mike Leach and Zach Arnett. All they're going to do is this. Offensively, they're going to put you on the path to success with an incredible selection of products, services, everything your business needs from a technological standpoint to thrive, to operate with more profits and less problems. The defense is every sale is backed up with the best customer service, the kind of customer service you expect to get from your next door neighbor. That's what Advantage Business Systems really is. They are your neighbor. They're a Mississippi business first and foremost and have been for over 46 years. Call them today. Find out how they can go to work for you. That number is 601 601- 562-9192, or you can visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Robbie, you wrote a story on 24/7 about the Starkville connection for Mississippi State versus Memphis, two very well-known players to the fervent Yellow Jacket Nation here in Starkville. Why don't you tell us about that story a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, one of the main things I wanted to talk about was that class that came out with Rodriguez Clark and Jaleel Clemens. You know, I go back to that season in 2016, I think was the year, maybe 15, the year they won the state championship, 15. Mm-hmm. That crew was in ninth grade. I went to a junior high football game to cover Starkville in Columbus, and Rodriguez Clark was wearing number 28.
Mm-hmm.
And they were calling him AD, mm-hmm. Adrian Peterson.
Okay.
Because he was literally a man among boys out there. And he was a guy that you could look at and say, he's going to be special. You could tell right away. I remember talking to Ricky Woods, and he was really excited about him and having him come through the ranks over the next few years. He felt like that was a guy that you could build an entire team around. Mm-hmm. That's how good he was. But it wasn't just him. I mean, they had Kobe Jones' cousin, Tank Jones, playing defensive end. He ended up going to Itawamba, play football. He was a great basketball player as well. Played some tight end. They had Zach Edwards that went to Louisville. He looked like he was going to be pretty special. Jalen Ware was a cornerback, ended up going to play. He's playing at Temple now. And Jaleel Clemens, who's playing at Memphis.
Right.
That's just a few of the guys that was on that team. And that's not counting. Rufus Harvey was a grade below, I believe. Cam Jones was a grade above. Kobe Jones was a junior. And A.J. Brown was a junior. You had Willie Gabe was a sophomore. There's so much talent coming up through the ranks at Starkville. And basically, Rodriguez Clark had three injuries over the next two or three years. He had back-to-back big injuries.
Yeah.
And he went from a guy that you're talking about, the next great running back to come out of Mississippi, to, you know, he doesn't really have an SEC opportunity. And, you know, when he's in ninth grade, I'm thinking this kid's going to be playing for Mississippi State. It didn't work out for him. Now, Joe Moorhead kind of kept in touch with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it was Brian Baker, I think, that was recruiting Jaleel Clemens, I think. And, you know, he was in touch with him as well. You know, at one point, it looked like he was going to go to Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
But he ends up going to Memphis. So, basically, those guys now have really kind of made the most of their opportunity at Memphis. And a couple of years ago, we're in the middle of that team that was kind of making waves in the group of five. So, I talked to Jaleel this week. Unfortunately, the SID wasn't able to get me in touch with Drake.
Mm-hmm.
This week, I was really looking forward to talk to him. But, you know, Jaleel is really excited about getting out on the field. He hadn't played in the first two games.
Right.
For Memphis, he's had a little minor injury, I believe. But he's excited to get out on the field, and he wants to go up against Cam Jones, one-on-one. Those guys used to go head-to-head in practice every day. But it's just the talent that's been coming out of Starkville in the last 5 years has been pretty ridiculous.
Well, I mean, this is not just a Starkville thing when it comes to the University of Memphis. They have feasted in Mississippi over the past few years. Darrell Henderson, Kenneth Gainwell, Jannard Avery, big-time player, J.J. Russell, who's a former MSU commit. I mean, they have just done so well, I think.
And they really made a big impression on Luke Altmyer when Norvell was there.
Yeah.
And I think
– Who was the quarterback from Starkville that went there? What's his name?
Brady Davis.
Brady Davis, that's right, yeah.
Yeah. So, the team Brady Davis was on mm-hmm. was – that might have been the most impressive offensive team I can remember.
Right.
In Mississippi.
At Starkville, yeah.
In Mississippi.
Well, it had A.J. Brown.
A.J. Brown, Raphael Leonard.
I forgot about Raphael Leonard.
Yeah. I forget the running back's name. He ended up going to EMCC, I think. But Brady Davis could sling it. And it was just – it was so much fun watching that team go. And they really shouldn't have lost to anybody. South Panola ended up beating them in the North State. Mm-hmm. Just kind of a lapse that day. But, you know, that Memphis – whenever Southern Miss had kind of slipped down the board.
Jacquez Horsley?
Jacquez Horsley, okay. Yeah. I believe he was on that team.
Yeah.
I think.
Would have been, yeah.
So, you know, Memphis came in and just really started hammering that, especially when Norvell was there. You know, he flew on a helicopter one night and came to see Rufus Harvey, Luke Altmyer, and guys like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, Memphis has done a really good job recruiting Starkville, and that's not a bad program to come after.
No, I agree.
It's producing some great players.
Year in, year out. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Not a lot of programs like that. How personal is this game for Clemens and Clark?
Oh, I think it's personal. I mean, those guys want to prove that they belonged here. Because basically what they were told is they didn't. You know, that they had a dream to play at Mississippi State or to play in the SEC. And when signing day came, they didn't have an offer from anybody in the SEC. And basically, you know, I think Mississippi State ended up going with Lee Witherspoon in that class over Rodriguez Clark.
How'd that turn out?
And that didn't really turn out great. I thought that Drake was good enough to take a flyer on. And maybe I got really close to the kid. Maybe I'm a little biased. I don't know. But I've watched him since ninth grade. I know how hard he's worked to fight through injuries and things like that and come out on top. And I know the kid is just he's a grinder. And I think he would have done a pretty good job in that offense. Now in the air raid, I don't know. I don't know if he's a great fit in this offense.
Mm-hmm.
But for Joe Moorhead's offense,
been a good fit.
I don't see why he wouldn't have been able to make it.
Yeah,
I mean, Daryl Henderson was basically told he wasn't good enough to play in Mississippi State or Ole Miss's offense.
And he would have been good at State, don't get me wrong. But Daryl Henderson and that Hugh Freeze Ole Miss offense, just a dominant player, I think. So,
well, I mean, a lot like Jerrion Ealy.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I
agree. They're not all that different. Ealy's probably a little more powerful.
Yeah.
He's built
top end speed,
man.
Henderson.
He came to camp, Daryl Henderson, and I think he tweaked a hamstring or something running a 40.
Mm-hmm.
He ran a 4.3
with a tweaked hamstring,
tweaking his hamstring halfway.
Yeah, guy's incredible.
And we watched him play in the other night on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
So
always interesting to see these underlying stories. So good job by you finding that story. Of course, you know, people around here know about it, but not everybody in the state of Mississippi knows. So good job by you getting that story out there.
Well, I'm always going to rep the Starkville Yellow Jackets.
Oh, I know you will. You're big Starkville homer is all you are. All right.
I'm an Ole Miss homer, too, apparently.
Well, you're a homer for everything. You actually are a Steelers homer.
I am a Steelers homer.
When are you going up there?
October 10th.
Oh, it's perfect. That's the same time I'll be coming back from New York.
So. Big Daddy and I are going.
I know Big Daddy's going, but yeah.
That's the off week for Mississippi State.
I know, so exactly.
Perfect timing.
So yeah, just a heads up. We'll go and get you a heads up on that. It's 20 days away, but there'll be no podcasts that week.
No podcast.
I won't be here. I'm definitely not Zooming with
you
from NYC. So.
Why not?
Cuz I'm going to be too busy eating pizza.
Okay. All right,
I got a plan to eat like 40 slices of pizza in 5 days, and I'm going to make it happen.
Are you going to go up there and do the one bite stuff?
I have the one bite app downloaded so I can find the best places.
Okay.
So I'm ready. I don't go anywhere without doing my research.
Oh, I know.
I look into everything.
I know.
So I've been sending my wife was like, "You must want me to gain 100 pounds." I just keep sending her links. It's like, look at this place. This place looks fantastic. We should go there. So. Well, but that being said, I got to walk a lot too. I'll probably walk like 6 miles a damn
day. Well, eat whatever you want.
Eat whatever you want, yeah. Something like that. That's a good idea if you start with a good base.
Yeah.
If you start bad and you do that, you don't gain or lose.
If you're just eating a bunch of grease and chocolate and stuff, it's probably not going to work.
Yeah. So there's only one dessert place I want to go to. I'm not going to tell you on the air, though. I'll tell you off the air. I'll tell you off the air.
What kind of dessert are they serving?
Ice cream.
Okay.
And that's all you need to know. Tomorrow's show is the 3 P's.
A little something extra in there?
No, there's not anything extra.
All right.
3 P's, Mississippi State versus Memphis. Robbie and I will be back tomorrow to give you the full breakdown of the Bulldogs and the Tigers. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
A Super Talk Mississippi media production.